acknowledging that Film Picnic is recorded on the ancestral lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. This land is referred to as unceded territory, as it was not given up freely and continues to be home for the indigenous communities from which it was stolen.
Yes, it is with immense privilege that we talk into these microphones and share our stories, as stories have been shared for generations before us on this land. We hope that Film Picnic can be a space for shared accountability, reconciliation, and knowledge sharing. This always was and always will be Indigenous land.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I'm Georgia.
And I'm Hannah.
And you're listening to Film Picnic. Hannah, why is today a special day?
Because we have an amazing guest today.
We have a guest.
Our guest today is a Canadian actor, writer, producer, and director with whom we are very familiar.
Very familiar.
They are known for their roles as Janae Matthews on Netflix's One of Us is Lying. Her. Hannah, okay, you're going to have to help me with this last name. Hannah
Whelan.
On The Unforgivable.
Actually, we think so.
On The Unforgivable, yep. Starring Sandra Bullock. Okay, period. And made their directorial debut in 2024 with the Crazy Eights film DTF, which we have spoken much about on this show.
Very much. A recipient of 2 Leo Awards.
Seriously.
Nominated for Rising Star Award at the World Fest Houston. We're so excited to welcome to the picnic, Jess McCloud.
It's so strange to like sit here and have things about me read to me by people who know me really well.
Yeah. Well,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's great.
The pleasure is we have YouTube, we have radio. I'm like, I love giving an intro before I say the name of the guest. So I'm like listing their accolades.
Yeah.
And everything on podcasts. About them. I feel like I just had a moment of like, wow.
Did you just levitate outside of your body?
I love that that's...
You said it's an honor for you. It's an honor for us. Are you kidding me?
Like, it's seriously. Huge for me.
What a great way to start. This is beautiful. This is amazing. Jess, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're so happy to have you. It's been a long time coming.
Yes.
Since they died.
I've been begging. I've been asking. I've been saying, Hannah, what do I have to do? What do I have to do?
Your name was on our list in our first meeting.
It was on our
initial
list of people that we were like, who do we want to interview?
Yeah.
It's on there.
Yeah.
So full circle moments.
Yeah. So starting with acting,
okay,
we're just going to dive
right into it. Okay. Yeah.
You started acting when you were a child?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
When I was very little and young.
What
6.
Was that? Whoa. Mm. Whoa.
Yeah. That's
was
like that Drew Barrymore type beat. Like,
hey,
very young.
Not at all. I'm like really not famous at all is the difference.
No.
I mean,
No, listen. But starting young.
Yes. So
you starting young. Yes. Starting young. A little guy.
Were you feeling motivated to do that? Was that something that you were in proximity with?
That was going to be my question. Was that something that you wanted to do, or was something that your parents were like, here?
It was something I wanted to do so badly.
Wow.
I don't know why. Nobody in my family does anything in this realm at all.
Yeah, me neither.
So, yes. Okay. So I'm very, I don't know where that idea really came from, and I don't remember, but I do know for sure that it was mine because my mom was like,
No.
Wow.
Don't do that.
Yeah. She was like worried that something bad would befall
me. Which is
me.
A fair, I think, concern.
Yeah.
Ethics. Yeah. Industry things.
Oh.
Yeah.
Child actors.
Yeah. So it was my idea.
And did you start acting professionally at 6? Like, you went straight into doing auditions and like...
It was a weird beginning. My mom worked as an accountant for this like hotel chain in Victoria, BC, where I'm from. And
Vancouver Island.
Yeah. Woo. And I would always go to work with her on the weekends because she's a single mom, so I didn't have anywhere to go, and I would be very annoying and like constantly trying to get her to pay attention to me when she's working.
Same.
So there's one week, like I guess a weekend, where there was a workshop for children actors.
Okay.
And I had never acted before, but I had been asking to act, and then I saw that and I was like, Mom, can I do the workshop? And she was like, yeah, if they'll let you in, for sure.
Wow.
And then I asked, and he was like, okay. And then I did. And then I did it. And then they cast me. They used to do these things called, what are they called? Like, showcases, I guess.
Yeah,
they used
to
do these things, like, for casting and agents and stuff. And everyone would go, and they would watch, like, essentially scenes, like, scene studies. And then they would choose people, I suppose, like clients. Mm. And then, so this man like cast me in this showcase from that thing because he was just like, "Who is this weird child
who slays?"
And then,
naturally, this weird child who slays.
And then he got me into like essentially got me my first agent, which is like, and looking back, I go, "This is very strange." Like I. Potentially a very dangerous situation, but he was very nice.
Yeah,
but like this like random guy,
it is always that way. It's not always that way, but it just it's like you
it's just like a random
you.
Old man
come yeah. with me like, yeah
okay but no he was fine and he got thank god and he got me my first agent and then I booked my first audition, which was a Lotto 649 commercial.
Aww.
Where I played a fairy who granted people's lottery wishes. Wow. Not to brag. I've been searching the web to find this.
Have you seen it?
I would love to see it because I remember being so excited and I was so happy to be there. But I wish I could find it, but I can't.
Do you remember how long it took you to book your first commercial?
That was my first audition.
Okay, that would be such a motivator.
It was.
At 6 years old to book your first audition, like
my mom was like pretty bummed that that's how that went because I think that she thought that it would sort of be like
have
I would try five, like I would do five auditions and I wouldn't get them and then I would be like, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
So she,
but that's not what happened.
But that's how that turned out. And then after that, you know, I did book many auditions and I didn't do any more commercials after that either because it was like I was having to come from Victoria to Vancouver all the time. Mm-hmm. Commercial auditions, so it's like 8 a week, you're 6 and blonde. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like they were just taking me and I was like, I can't do it anymore. Yeah, I want to go to school also. Yeah. So yeah, that was my beginning.
That is so awesome. Wow. And then from there, when did you start doing theater? If you started with screen?
I think I did. I think I did theater maybe like 9 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
I did my first musical, Gypsy.
I'm unfamiliar.
I'm unfamiliar.
I'm also unfamiliar.
They're about to do it on Broadway again with Audra McDonald, icon. I mean, I'm really excited to hopefully go see that because it's a great musical.
I also did my first musical when I was 11.
Oh my god, what was your first?
It was The Lion King, and me and my best friend both played Scar at the same time on stage. We just shared lines.
I really want to say that that is like probably the most non-binary thing that you could have just said. Like in your first musical you played Scar in The Lion. Like that's so
we both auditioned for Scar because we watched The Lion King every single day.
But they weren't even like, oh, let's give someone an understudy or like alternate nights. They were walked
in together. Yes. And we were like the Shining twins. Yeah. We would just
Were you also in love with them?
Okay.
This episode is chaotic. immediately. No, but I like it. It's good.
Anyway.
We can move on.
It gets really real really fast.
I'll just say in hindsight, there are a lot of queer things in my childhood.
And we all have the same.
And that's all I'll say. Yeah. And that is all I will say.
Scar is crazy.
Okay. How do we feel about the new Mufasa?
I haven't seen it.
I heard great things. I haven't seen it though.
I don't know. I have mixed feelings. The CGI animals, something about it doesn't sit right with me.
Can we just rewind for a second? Because I just realized we never talked about how we even know each other.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Actually.
Let's talk about
it. So maybe let's unpack that.
I would love to.
Unpack it.
So Jess starred in It's a Wonderful Life, which again, we have mentioned
exclusive.
Almost every
it's like
single
this show is exclusive coverage of DTF, It's a Wonderful Knife.
Baffling.
No, but it's
and
real.
Now drinking licorice at night.
Period. Yeah. Now they're gonna hear all about my thesis.
Thank you so much.
But yes, Jess starred in It's a Wonderful Knife, and that was my first ever set experience.
Which is so
like
crazy.
Big set experience.
You really seemed like you already
Thank
knew
you.
What you were doing.
Thank you.
You did.
Yeah. I felt I did in my heart.
Yes.
But...
Sorry, I just purred. That was crazy.
That was more like that sounded like a Bibble purr. You know, like Bibble from Barbie?
Nope.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
The little blue man.
Yeah, that like swims underwater. Anyway,
sorry.
Irrelevant.
No, I think that's me showing my age, unfortunately.
No.
But
we,
that
no.
was like, he was on the VHS tapes.
Okay.
VHS tape Barbie.
Okay, then.
So it's just a you problem.
Yeah. Just you being very
But if we're talking about non-binary things, I feel like Bibble's right in there. We don't know the gender of Bibble. I guess he/him pronouns. I don't know. Anyways. Besides the point.
And yeah. Where was I? Bibble. It's a wonderful day. Yeah. I met you on set during the party scene. Mm-hmm. Yes. That was the first time I saw you.
Yeah.
You just slayed. And then I remember watching the premiere in LA and being like, oh my God, they're so talented. Truly, I remember coming up after like five different times being like, you did such a good job. You did such a good job. You're like, thanks.
So did you.
Thanks, thank you.
I get very nervous at those types of things. It's very, very overstimulated.
Yeah, I can. It is very overstimulating. I'm like,
yeah.
I didn't go to the film production wrap party this year. Peace and love. I'm so sorry. You did.
Ethan off camera.
But
you is Ethan off
you camera. Is Ethan off camera.
Because we have a videographer now. How cool is that?
Yes.
Thanks, Ethan.
We love
them.
Thanks,
Ethan.
I need to get a little compliment in there. I just want to say, DTF also. Yes, we've talked about this. Writer, director. Beautiful. Amazing.
Co-writer.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
With Sam.
Yeah.
Crockmall. Mm-hmm. Goodness.
I need Sam to do my headshot soon.
Oh, yeah.
Real. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, when I was an extra in the background in one of the scenes.
Horny extra.
Because that's what I was directed to do.
Not just because
in a general state. Anyways.
That's good to know.
Well, I feel like I was that was one of the first experiences where I was like in proximity with a person that I was just like star power.
Oh,
I don't know.
Gosh.
No. Well, okay,
it's
but here's
true.
The thing. Here's the
it's
thing.
So true.
I'm in cinema studies, so it's very academic papers, observing film as an artistic medium, studying it in an academic way. Mm. And then dipping my toe into the world of film production, then you get into the glamour and you're like, wow, I'm like, you know,
yeah.
I'm on set.
You're amongst
and
it.
I'm in it. And I was just, yeah, I don't know. I think like, I mean, I don't know. I did some very basic Googling and I was like, who are the people involved with this project and what's going on?
One thing about Georgia is she's great with research.
I'm getting that.
She will know.
I'll just,
you know everything about me.
That's amazing.
No, but it was so fun. And I was like, wow, like, this is Jess and they've done cool things. And like, I don't know. That's Mia and that's Sam and that's Aaron. And I saw them in a production of Amphitrio at the Jericho Arts Center 3 years ago.
Whoa!
Like,
all these
things. Like, I don't know. Icon. So it was lovely. And then we got to hang out at WIFF.
Mm-hmm. Whiffler International Film Festival.
Crazy. Yep.
Whiffler.
But it's lovely.
WIFF.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Is there an I in there? It's not the international. It's just Whistler Film Festival.
Yeah.
Woof.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Woof. Woof. Anyway.
So here we are.
So
and here we are.
And here we are.
And I'm grateful.
Did you have
it.
Fun that day? Oh no.
No, I'm gonna say it.
Say it.
I
Oh no.
No. I had so much fun. Let me start there. I had so much fun. I had an entanglement.
Oh yes, this is funny.
With
this is
someone,
funny.
I had a romantic. Nah, was it romantic? I don't know. I had this entanglement with someone who was like doing props, but he was at the house set, and we were. This was filmed in VGH.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vancouver General.
So
Hospital.
I was like. I can't believe I'm saying this one. I'm dying.
Yeah,
I don't know, but I had like broken up with them over text, and then they were like, "Oh, do you ever want to see me again?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna be on the DTF set this Sunday." Turns out we were at different locations. Thank God.
Okay,
but it was tense walking in.
Wow.
Because I was like,
"Yeah,
what's happening?"
You knew all of this.
I knew I was of producing, course. But of course, I kept it professional.
Of course, naturally.
Didn't say a word.
As you do.
Yeah.
And it comes out on the pod.
That's. I love it. We can start talking about drama.
I really love knowing that. That's like interesting
well,
to me. I do love
because
knowing
because
that.
I
That's
had fun. Known, and we don't need to go into it, but I will say, I had known about this entanglement before getting to set, and I got to be there, and I was the producer, and I just
you
kind
were?
Of knew the situation, but just like on the lowest of keys. So I was just like, nice to meet you.
Yeah, but isn't it fun? And now I watch that film, and now I just have all these beautiful memories attached to it. And there's so many layers. It's a
and
lasagna.
Now it's called DTF.
Well,
yeah,
my bandana's falling off.
I time. Didn't get to have any like, it, as an actor, for me at least, I feel like there's so much kind of boredom involved in like the
hurry up and wait.
Yes. Mm. So there's like, it's a lot easier to sort of have. This is insane for me to be saying. Have like, be entangled
mm-hmm.
with folks, or like have like tea or drama or like. as an actor.
Yeah.
When you're directing,
there's nothing.
There's no time for
there's any There's no space
of that.
To think.
I don't get to know any of what's going on. Like, I learned so many things after the fact of, like, all the things that people were talking about, or, like, little, you know, like, relationships or whatever that were happening. Or like,
which
do you know what I mean?
Happens on set. Which
yes.
Is funny.
And I love, and I think that's so great. Like,
yeah.
But I didn't get to know about any of that. I was so, like, work focused, which is not normally. I love to, like, know about things. Yeah. So this is really exciting.
Well, you know now.
Thank you.
While I was directing Drinking Licorice, I would, like, walk in. Like, I'd have, like, 2 seconds of free time, and I would, like, hear someone talking, and I'd think I'd know what they were talking about, and I'd, like, come in and be like, oh, yeah! And they'd be like, that's, you're so off with what you're we're, so, and I'd be like, yeah. Oh, okay, I'm just gonna.
I was so desperately out of the loop.
Yeah, yeah. It's like embarrassing. I felt like the mom who's like, hey guys, what are we talking about? Totally.
I felt like I was on the opposite spectrum being
you
BTS,
were like literally, there's so many.
Everything.
You I was saw like, everything.
And Georgia got videos, like videos of people just mid-convo, not,
well, you know. Wait, yeah, that sounds.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
You're doing your
anyway,
job.
Yes.
You're doing okay. Your job.
Circling back.
Let's talk more about acting.
Okay.
Let's do that. Your expertise. basic question, but just something fun that I think people would love to know. Like, what's one of the favorite parts that you've played?
Oh.
Because, yeah. What characters do you hold near and dear to your heart?
To be honest, I think, like, It's a Wonderful Knife is the only time I've ever watched something and not felt, like, deep shame upon witnessing my performance.
Wow.
Like, I'm
glad that's, like, well, I'm not glad, but I relate to that.
Yeah. I was, like, watching it at the premiere, mm-hmm. going, like, normally, and it's, I've made friends with, like, the fact that when I watch myself, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, whoa, an actor. Like, you know, I'm not going to be like, that's amazing. But so normally my experience is, like, I'm kind of, like, half watching when I'm doing things and I'll notice, like, everything else about it, enjoy everything else. And so, but when I was watching it, I was going like, wait, good, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, I was looking at my friend who's beside me, who was in One of Us Is Lying with me, Annalisa, and she was my date. And so I was like whispering to her, being like, that was good. I think it was good. And then she would be like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I would keep, and I was like, and I think it was because it was so campy. That movie was so,
it was so camp.
Massive. Like, you got to just, like, be so huge in your performance that I think it gave me, like, a real freedom that I don't normally get on screen. It felt like theater a little.
Yeah.
And I think that was why I was so excited by what I was doing, because I felt really, like, free and silly on set, which is, I think, where I do all of, like, anything that I've ever done that's good. It's like where
I'm having the space to explore.
Yes.
The space to be in.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that there's a lot of subtlety in that movie as well, but I feel like I had to go, like, super crazy massive in order to get the, like, smaller stuff. And I think that also they let me improv a lot, which I really like to do, and they kept up so much of it in the movie.
That's
which
awesome.
Was also really exciting.
It was an awesome
to watch.
Team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was really fun.
So, I will also say that, like, I know a lot of people auditioned for, I don't remember your character's name. That's actually
Bernie.
Terrible. Bernie. I was about to say, like, Bonnie. That's Bernie.
Close.
Bernie.
Close.
I know after I auditioned for Kara, which is my character's name, they got me to audition for
Bernie.
Yeah. Guys.
Hey, guys. Short-term memory loss.
Bernie. And I know that they kind of were trying to find their Bernie, and that was hard for them.
They were.
And watching the way that you, like, the choices that you made, it just made so much sense. And it was like, oh yeah, that's exactly that's what they were looking for, and it was great.
I had many people send me that breakdown before I actually got the audition. I had three people send me the breakdown going like, oh my God, you have to read for this, you're so good for it. And the breakdown was like, loser, nobody likes them.
Devastating.
Wants to kill themselves.
Social,
like, it
awkward,
was so,
yeah,
like, I was just like, I agree. I mean, I will.
You're like
this is, I will, this is kind of my corner, and I will eat. And then apparently I was the second tape that they watched, period.
Oh.
And they were like, wow, that tape was really good. And then they, like, kind of looked at every other possible option that they could have. And I know they also really were hoping that they could find somebody great who was, like, more famous than me, so that the movie would get, like, more money and stuff.
Yeah.
And so they were, like, desperately trying to find, like, any other option. And then they kept coming back to my tape because I knew that they liked me for it much way before I got a callback and way before I booked it. I booked it very last minute. I was like one of the last people cast.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Even though I knew.
Because you weren't. Were you cast when we went to the Scream? Were you invited to that? Yeah, we. Awkward.
Yeah. Not really. No, but like they literally were like, please,
we all
anyone
as a cast
else.
Went to Scream 6 yeah. and then Jess wasn't there and they were still looking for their Bernie.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was all very last minute. I had a really, really fun time on that movie and I liked what I did.
It was so much fun. I remember, I mean, like,
it was fun to watch.
Well, yeah. And also, I have made friends that have been lasting from that film, which is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. I remember being very excited to have met you after that.
Yeah.
So, I was so excited to meet you.
Wow. Hana's so cool. And Hana's like going to do really cool stuff. And then as soon as I was like, I need another producer for DTF, you were the first person that I thought of.
Oh, that makes me so happy. It was such an honor and a pleasure. So,
producer Brian,
thank you.
Hey,
yeah, I love producing. I wish I watched The Unforgivable.
No.
Blessings and Witches.
Do you want to expand on that?
No.
And no more shall
we. And we're going to move on.
No, I don't. You know, I was really happy to be there. They treated me very well, even though I was only a tiny part of the movie. They made me feel very involved and like they wanted my opinion, which I appreciated. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like, I think that was kind of one of the many movies that sort of got shaken because of COVID and they had to make a lot of things work in the edit later. And I think, yeah.
Was it received well?
I actually don't really remember. I think
well, it's got 90-something% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Does it?
Just so you know.
Yeah. I feel like
tomatoes.
I feel like in an
Thank
ideal
you,
I don't know if this is true, but I feel like they would have maybe hoped that it had done better awards wise.
Yeah.
At least specifically performance because they had all these huge heavy hitters and
critical reception.
Incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wonder, I just don't know. It's just you kind of never know like when you for me at least, when I've made really anything, especially as an actor, I guess in general, but I've just had more experience acting. It's like you'll sign on to these projects that you're like, this is incredible. Like that all of these amazing people are involved. Wow. Like this is really going to be something. And then it just like, it's never the things that you think are really going to be something that are something in my experience.
It's more the surprise moments. You can't really expect how things are going to be perceived or taken, or
you just like truly never know. Which is like, it's good if you can be in a place to like be okay with that. And sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I am, but sometimes I'm not. So I think like it's like a real learning experience to be to like not hold on to anything or like an expectation of what something just because like X, Y, and Z are attached or it's this director or whatever. It's like so much can happen that is so out of your control.
Yeah.
And so I do my like very best, especially when I'm acting, to like have the best time I can have while I'm doing it, because that's the only thing that I'll have for sure.
Yeah.
Is like the doing of it.
For right, sure.
On set.
No promises you'll be in the final cut. I learned
literally.
Recently.
Oh, literally.
The last film I was in.
Yeah.
No lines.
I've had that too.
And it happens.
I've had that too. I've booked something and then they've decided that they're cutting the character.
Yeah.
Like you just truly don't know. So like every day is kind of like, and this is all I know that I have right now this day.
Yeah.
Which is, can be really freeing and also really scary.
So you've been acting since you were 6.
Yeah.
How have you then kept the drive to keep doing it? Have you had periods of pause? Because I mean, as they say,
that's
it's a rough
time.
Industry, and I hate it when people say that to me, because I'd be like, don't be so discouraging. But you know, you have to have your own internal
well, also what we're just talking right now, it's like, it's, you know, you got to let it flow off your back, and like what continues to keep you motivated.
I think like my motivation with acting has really changed as time has gone on. I think that I've been so like so driven and so excited by it, but I think as I've gotten older and I've also gotten more excited about the idea of like writing my own stuff and directing my own stuff, I think that like where the things that I get really excited about now are less the acting side and more the filmmaking side. But every once in a while there will be things that like I'll get an audition for something, or I'll be on set for like my friend's short and I'll be like, oh, this is so fun.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that like as an actor, I don't know that that is like acting. I don't think that acting is like the thing that I am supposed to be doing and that's it.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that like I was always sort of chasing the feeling that I do get now from making my own stuff. Right. Yeah. But I just never quite. So it was always like a sort of chasing of like what it could be.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that like really solidified that for me, and people said this to me constantly when I was growing up, it was like, you know, when you get the thing that you thought you'd always want, that is like the dream, it won't be what you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
It will not feel the way that you think it's going to feel, and it won't make you feel the way that you think.
That's a cold glass of reality.
No, but it's true.
And I went, yeah, probably for other people, but not for me. Which is, I think, yeah, how everybody takes that. Yeah. Because it just is something I think you do have to learn,
yeah,
by doing it. So yeah. So then I booked One of Us is Lying, which mm-hmm. we... Mm-hmm.
Yes, I actually want to hear about this because yes, I've yes. heard little tidbits. So yeah. Please explain.
Yeah. So I booked that show, and it was, I mean, the biggest opportunity I'd had by far. Changed my entire life financially in a way that is like, I can't ever, you know, express, like, I wouldn't be sitting here doing this if that didn't happen. So it's incredible. The idea that like that I was chosen for that is amazing. Mm. It was a huge, massive casting call. I really appreciate, like, I was the only Vancouver local cast for the pilot.
Where did it film?
The pilot shot here, and then the series shot in New Zealand.
Okay.
So it was like, I mean, insane. And you kind of say like your whole life that this is going to be like, if you get a series regular, yeah, in a show,
yeah, like I just want a series regular,
like,
role.
You've made it. Like, yeah, you've made it. And like, that's the pinnacle of like acting. For me, at least, that's how I thought about it. And then so when that happened, it was like, wow, like, oh my God, it's happening. Like, it's really happening.
Yeah.
And then I shot the pilot, and it was like kind of a strange experience being the only, and I had shot one other pilot before that when I was 16, but that one didn't go. So then this one went.
Where was everyone else from?
America.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. And so when it went, it was like, oh my God. Like, I mean, truly, like, more money than I'd ever seen in my life, not even close. Mm. And so that was in itself like a whole thing of like, what do I even do with this? Yeah. I'm 23. Mm. Like, what do I do? Nobody like sits you down and is like, here's and how to invest.
How to manage money.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, they're just like, take it. And you're like, ah! And like, and I think that for me, it was also like, I grew up with, I mean, I was like, you know, I would never wanted for anything, but I didn't grow up with money. And so like, it was a real mind fuck to be like, oh my God, like, I didn't know what to do with that. Nobody talked to me about that. And then also what nobody talked to me about is like, we went to New Zealand. It was also during the pandemic.
Horrifying.
So it was like,
so lonely.
So lonely. Like,
and New Zealand was very locked down. They were very, yeah.
Australia and New Zealand were just like, I know sealed. I couldn't leave 5 kilometers outside my house. Like, I couldn't.
Totally. Mm. And also, like, normally when I would be on like a longer contract, like even a month, I would bring people to visit me. Mm. Like, I would be like, come visit for the weekend. But I couldn't do that here. And it was all these people that I didn't know. I was in a different country. It's huge, massive time difference. So I can't really like call my, like, I'm on set when they're
right,
like awake and living their day. And then, you know what I mean? Like, it was just very, very, very isolating. And nobody cares. Like, you're just
you're
kind
slaying
of.
Because you're a series regular and you're doing
yes,
what you've wanted yeah. to do. And like.
Yes. Yeah. And not only that, but like the specifically on this show, what I found so interesting is like, they kind of plucked all of us out of varying different levels of obscurity. Like, nobody was famous coming in.
Right.
So it was like really incredible in the sense that we all had each other. So we all were coming at it from a very similar energy of like, we really want to make this as good as it can be. And we're all, you know, very humble people like coming in, and, you know, there wasn't a lot of like egos involved in the cast, which I really loved and appreciated. but I think what really struck me, and like what kind of is the seed of, I think, where I started really wanting to use that money or privilege or power that I received from that show, like as minimal as it is, money, not minimal, but like power, minimal. But I think like,
I mean, even being associated with Netflix.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Like totally. And like even the like small amount of Instagram following that I have, I think has given me opportunities that I didn't have before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is crazy to say, but it is true. So I think like,
did you feel that influx from One of Us is Lying?
100%. Yeah. It was fully that. Like, yeah. And so I think like when I was doing that, I was so struck by like when you are essentially owned by a network, which you are when you are a series regular. They own, they have a 6-year contract. Most people, I don't think, know this. It's like 6-year contract.
That's a long contract.
They option you for those 6 years. So they say like, we will pay to kind of have the rights to you for these 6 years.
Wow.
So like if you wanted to do another project when you're not shooting this, you could, but we would have to approve it. And also like that's why they're paying you so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's sort of like this strange like catch 22 kind of that nobody talks to you about.
Yeah.
And that nobody kind of prepares you for like the loneliness of that. And when we were all over there during the pandemic, young people like doing this for the first time,
yeah,
nobody really checked in, which was so striking to me and felt,
do you mean like nobody from the big production company?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like nobody went, I wonder if these people need support.
Right.
Especially during a global pandemic. Like
pandemic.
Mental.
I did not know it shot during the pandemic. Yeah. That is shocking to
me. It was really like really affronting to me in a way of like, you know, this is again, it's just not what I thought it would be. And then also like nobody had like shot through a pandemic before, so obviously like nobody really knows how to handle this, like I get it. But I think that there's like a sort of detachment from like that all of these people that you do own are people,
yeah,
like, and not just kind of vessels for like financial gain.
Yeah,
and it did at times feel like that, and I don't really, that's capitalism,
that's
like
just
I don't blame anybody for that, but it did feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's that sort of the system is designed to make as much money as possible in the shortest amount of time as possible,
yeah,
however they can.
Yeah.
So it's hard to break that, and it's also hard to push back on that when everybody is doing something new for the first time.
Yeah.
Right.
So I just think that there's like, but what I really noticed was there is all of this sort of leeway and power that you do have as an actor in that position, because actually
they need you.
They need you so bad. So in season 2, my energy.
There's 2 seasons total?
Yes.
Yeah.
My energy towards everything was like very different. Mm. And I was like actively sort of protecting everybody else who didn't feel that agency.
Yeah.
Because for me, I sort of realized like this isn't the dream. This isn't like the big dream.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
And also if I was to lose this, it would be okay.
It's never the end of the world, as yeah. I always say.
What a great
say.
Amount of security to have.
Yeah.
What a great amount of mental security. Oh, well.
And also financial security is
financial
the thing.
Security.
So what's weird is that I wouldn't have had that had I not done the first season.
Yeah.
So it's very like.
Yeah. Yeah. For people that might not be familiar with what being optioned means, you said it was like a 6-year option.
That's standard.
That's standard.
TV.
If they end up shooting for like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do they cut that option down? Do they stop paying you after the 3 years, or do they keep paying you for the rest of the 6, even if they've finished their seasons?
Essentially, it's like 6 years is assuming six seasons. Okay. So if they don't get picked up, like we didn't get picked up for season three, that means that the contract is over.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I will say, I think too, like what, I mean, yeah, just like what an experience to go through, but also it's interesting to talk to people who are actors and then directors, because I feel like in whatever way it is, their experience being in front of the camera so greatly informs how they're treating people behind the camera.
Yeah.
How they're moving behind the camera. We talked about this with Ethan. We talked about this with Cody.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, I'll say from being on your set, I felt so completely safe and comfortable.
Oh, and yeah, I think a lot of people.
That's why that I had a really energy. Big moment of fear where you paused really hard.
No, yeah, I was like, I was gonna cry. Gorgeous.
Oh no.
No, that's my worst fear. My worst fear is someone having like a terrible time on my set feeling. Yeah.
No, that was probably just me being like, how much do I want to divulge?
And that's so fair. No. Yeah, I do think that it's changed. I think this is like the kind of the path that I needed to take. I think this is right. Because it's like when the days that I forget that, where I'm like, right now I'm like editing this short that I just shot and I'm feeling like so deeply overwhelmed and stressed by it.
Yeah.
I'm going like, should I ever, why am I doing
You're
this?
Editing it yourself? No.
Yes.
Wow.
Do we want to plug? Can we say what it is?
Sure. It's called She's Non-Binary. It's a short called She's Non-Binary. It's a dark comedy. I hope that it will, you know,
I'm so go to some excited festivals. To
I will be sharing it. With you.
Thank you. I've only heard the title, but I'm on board.
I will be sharing with you a rough cut.
I'm on board.
If you could give me notes. But so I'm feeling like, why I'm like questioning if I'm supposed to be doing this ever at all. And then I'm like, but the thing that it makes me go, is like, it was way harder to not do it. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I like, when I go like, just like, I don't have to do this again. I won't do it again. Then I think about all the years that I wanted to do it and I didn't do it. And those were way harder and worse.
Yeah.
So I think like, even though it's so hard, it's like a kind of hard that I'm like, and it's for something.
Yeah.
So it's that fulfilling. I can change some stuff.
Yeah.
And so I can like give people opportunities.
Uh-huh.
And like, you know, uplift like some kind of community, I hope.
Yeah.
Is like ultimately the dream, even on a very small scale. Like on a lot of the people on that set, I mean, the DOP was that it was her first short out of film school, and she was awesome.
What's her name?
Sydney Bunning. She's great. Oh my god,
shout out Sydney.
Icon. Yeah, icon. Met her at Whistler.
Bless. Yes,
there we go.
Whistler. Oh yeah.
Networking. Yeah, great festival.
I think we're going to take a very quick break.
Let's take a break.
And then come back into talking about being a creative as a whole. Because I feel like that's like a great segue into being an actor. I feel like the industry tries to put us in a lot of boxes. And it's kind of like, if you're an actor, you're probably a good director as well. And if you're a good director, you might like producing and like all of these things. But we're going to take a quick break.
We'll come back.
And be back with you.
Welcome. I'm Sue Kwakin.
Do tanse. Ichuwal.
Iswayal. Sahlo, sahlo.
I'm at Skype.
Bienvenido.
Una ti.
Get tunal. Tach, tai tan.
You are invited to volunteer for Swissessism Garden. Get away from the rat race. Get back to the land. Heal. Reconnect with yourself. Touch grass. Find a quiet place among the plants and find a quiet place inside yourself. Check us out on Facebook at Indigenous Garden UBC Farm or visit the Swissessism Indigenous Garden located at UBC Farm just off of Ross Road.
Nardwar to Human Serviette, and you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM at Doo-Doo-Loo-Doo.
Doo-Doo.
We have been called the Indians.
Justified in opening fire that day. Amy Allen has more.
The virus took on many shapes. The bear, the elk, the antelope.
Hosted by the Indigenous Collective of CITR 101.9 FM,
Unceded Airwaves unveils the hidden pages of Indigenous history and contemporary existence. We are back and looking for passionate folks to contribute to the process of putting together our weekly radio show. Our community centers Indigenous joy, excellence, and current issues. Friends and allies are welcome. No experience is necessary. Come learn with us. Our Instagram is Unceded Airwaves, and that's the best way to keep up with us. If you're interested in getting involved or you have any questions, email me, indigenouscollective@citr.ca.
We are UBC Electronica, and we love electronic music such as
Run for them life. When I step into the jungle,
we offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
Devin Cole is a woman in total control. Unafraid and unashamed, Cole has burst onto the scene through her expertly crafted feminist pop anthems, packaging social truths into repeat-worthy bops. This is the era of fempop, and Devin Cole is an artist you don't want to miss. Join Devin Cole on her Two Shades Blonder tour and see her in Vancouver at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 16th. To find out more and get your tickets, visit admitone.com. That's admitone.com. I should be swimming, but I'm a fiend for the troublesome boy who's driving me
wild. Before we came back, Jess was just talking about the film that they just wrote, directed, and starred in, called She's Non-Binary.
Yeah. And are editing.
Yes.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yes.
Doing the most.
Please yes. Tell us about that. How many days did you shoot for?
We shot 2 9-hour days.
Okay.
That's not bad.
For 13 pages.
What? Yeah. How many characters?
2.
Wow.
So, okay, in that sense.
One location?
Mm. One location.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was it like being on screen and also being the director?
You know, I was like so nervous to do it because everyone was like, that's going to be so hard. That's going to be like,
yeah, everyone really was told me not to do that.
Yes. Mm. And what I will say is I'm like not very confident as a director yet. I hope one day I will get to a place where I feel a little bit more secure. I'm sure I'll never be like,
well, you're amazing.
So. I got it. Like, I'm sure that's never going to happen for me. But like, I'm not like, you know, sure of myself at all as a director currently. Mm. But I think actually it really helped me to act in it as well, because I am confident in my acting ability. Yeah. I've been doing it for so long that it does feel like a little bit like second nature to me, and I think I am secure in that. So I think it actually really helped me be like more confident on set with like the decisions that I was making. Right or wrong, we'll find out. But like, I think that I was like, it made me go like, oh, I know that one aspect of this I've like totally got. It's gonna be totally fine. So then it helped me be more confident
in other ways. Yeah, that makes sense. Like, the confidence can translate.
Yeah. I guess you're also like in the scene, so you can feel it.
So I could and this was so nice and saved so much time, which we needed to do. I could, if I saw a problem happening, it was very weird. It was like I was compartmentalizing on a level that I have never in my life. It was like I was truly like watching myself out of my body while acting, and I feel like I was decently present. I'm sure I wasn't like the best scene partner I've ever been, but I think I was decently present. And I was like, but also I could see kind of everything at once. So I would like, if I knew that there was like an axis jump or something, I would move. So then the take isn't dead. We can keep going.
Third eye moment.
And if I was like, I know that I want this to be closer.
Yeah.
I could move or move the scene partner. Or if I knew that I wanted his performance to be different, I could do something in the scene talking to make him react differently.
Yeah.
Which was like so nice and took away all of this time to be like, let's reset and like
explain it to both.
Yeah. instead of I would just do it, which was like so nice.
Yeah.
So great.
The amount of calculating in your head, like that the meme of the lady with the math.
It literally,
you know, like that's what I'm thinking about.
I really did feel like that on the last day specifically because like kind of we had many sort of technical snafus and like just a lot. The last day was a lot.
Yeah.
So, and we were shooting this. We shot it in order, which was amazing. That was great.
Two 9-hour days for 13 pages.
Yeah. Just going.
That's
just
going. We were cooking. Everything was, almost everything was handheld. So that helped.
Yeah.
And it was very, it was very basic, you know, lighting, like mostly practicals. Like we did it on purpose in order to be able to accommodate that schedule.
Yeah.
But it was, the last night we finished with like the final scene, which is like a huge kind of out and out, like massive screaming argument that ends very less so for my character, more for the other character. Jake is the character name. He like the journey that he has to go on in that scene is like quite harrowing. And it starts out very, very, very funny, and then it becomes like something kind of different.
Sounds like good writing.
Thank you. I hope so. But it was like, so that scene was like so much. I looked like an insane person. I had all of these like blocking maps where I was like, okay, and then this guy goes like, and like it looks like the drawings of an absolutely like an unwell human being. So I'm like giving all of these blocking maps to people before we do it, and I'm like going over it, and I know exactly. And they're like,
you can see
them. Okay, so I'm this weird green mark, and I'm like, yes, that's the camera. And they're like, okay. And so it's like six different kind of setups, quote unquote, in this one scene, because we're moving around, like there has to be so much movement. And then we end up in this place where like I'm standing and drawing on something and like explaining something to him, and then he's just kind of sitting there in this chair and like taking it all in, and then like having a little moment of like realizing something, and then going like, oh fuck, and like not wanting that to be true, and then like exploding at me.
Yeah.
And then I leave the scene, and then he's just like kind of left there alone.
Wow.
And so it was like it was like acting through that scene, which is also, this whole short is based like very, very close to an experience that I truly had close with a partner. So it was like living out that while directing was really cool. And I was shocked at how kind of easy it felt for me on the day. Wow. It was like, because I knew the story so well.
Yeah.
It was like I knew it so intrinsically, and I knew the movement of the scene so intrinsically. Yeah. I knew exactly where the camera was, even if I wasn't looking at it. I was like, I know exactly where Sydney's going to be. So I would move, or if I knew that I needed like a push, I would like push her. Like I would like, you know,
yeah.
And that was great. But it was like the craziest thing for me now is editing it and going like, I'm having all of the feelings that I didn't have on the day now.
Right now. Wow.
And by feelings, are you referring to feelings that you wanted to have on the day, or feelings that you're able to kind of like sit in as an audience member?
Feelings that I'm able to process now.
Yeah.
Because I'm having all of it. I can see it in my eyes, even though I wasn't feel like, there's so many moments where I'm like, and then I like, and then I'll be like, cut. And it's so like, I was like dissociating, but then also like very, it like I'm very in it.
You must have been using 100% of your brain
that day.
I felt all of the brain.
And it felt really good.
Left and right.
It felt really good. But then when I'm like watching it, it's been like hard to watch because I'm going like, oh, like this happened to me. And also, like, I was a part of this in a way that I don't love.
Mm.
Like, I don't love the person that I was in this interaction. And I tried to be as honest as I could about that in the writing of it.
Right.
I tried to really, really be, like, so real with myself about, like, the ways in which I perpetuated this conflict and the ways in which I made someone feel not good.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, like, So I'm watching it going like, oh my God. And I'm just like alone in my apartment being like so faced with this. And it's been really hard, like in like a real way.
Can I ask too, well, like you were talking about earlier, watching yourself, like still having that critical eye of your own performance, liking it, and It's a Wonderful Knife. Was that element still present? Like, because now you're feeling these, all these, you know, kind of delayed reaction emotions to this autobiographical material. Also knowing that you directed it and like you had to do all the communication with the camera movements and those things. Like, when you were editing it and watching it back, did you, were you feeling self-critical of your performance, or were you more immersed in the emotions of that event in your life?
It's interesting because I'm not being very critical of my performance just because I have so many aspects of it to focus on, which is nice. Like, I'm not, I'm just like,
not saying that you should be
No, I know. I know you're not. I think I'm like watching it going, it just is what it is. And I'm also like, I'm surprised by myself in the sense of like, I truly wasn't on the day feeling any of it. But then I watch it and I go, yes, I am. Which is so
But that's probably because you sat with it for such a long time. It was in you.
It just
was. In your bones. You were ready to perform it.
And I really, like, I lived it. Yeah. Not like, not exactly this, but like, this is certainly like a pushed to 11 version of what it was in real life. But in real life, like, what it was just sad. And like, there wasn't a lot of like anger that I really expressed at the time. And neither did he. And it also, like, it's funny looking back, but at the time it wasn't funny. So it's like, I'm like watching this going like, like, it just.
Well, that means you did a good job, I'm assuming, in terms of like the writing.
I hope so. Yeah. I'm proud. I think I am proudest of the writing at this point, at least. I mean, I don't even have a cut, so I don't really have anything else to be proud of. But like, I think there's, I think I'm proudest of the writing, and I just hope that the cut will do it. The story justice, like, it's a I can say what it's about. It's about like a non-binary person in a relationship with a cisgender man, and like, he kind of is, he errantly kind of misgenders them accidentally at a party, and then like that seed creates this entire kind of fallout of like, how do they really see each other, and do they see each other at all. And it's like this, but it's like, I cannot stress enough, it's very funny.
But I feel like that's such an awesome way of approaching hard topics. Even with DTF, like, that was a heavy,
it's how I have to do it.
Because
I think that there's like, I don't love to watch something where I go like, I know how I'm supposed to, how they want me to feel about this. And I'm watching it going like, and this is the message of the movie. And I'm feeling it every moment. And I'm seeing two people have a lot of feelings. And like, there's, that's not as interesting to me. And it also doesn't feel like life. Like, life is so weird and funny. And like, the things that people say are so weird and insane and funny. Like, there's this moment in this movie that like, I think I can say like the general kind of question of it without saying how it's presented in the movie. But like, so I'm, this big reveal news.
On
March 21st, I'm getting breast reduction surgery, which is something I've wanted for a very long time.
That's so exciting.
Thank you. Very gender affirming for me. And also just like, great. And so, and for a long time, I was sort of like, I don't know if I want that or if I want top surgery. Like, I don't know what the, I don't know what the vibe is. And I still don't. Like, I sort of had a moment of like, I think I just have to do it. And then I'll see if I want to like, fully just get them out of here. I don't know yet. So in this film, which is what happened in life, this, my partner had like a real kind of visceral reaction to the idea that I would be getting any sort of augmentation done to my chest in a way that like is inherently comical. Like, it was such an outsized reaction to like, not that big of a deal in my opinion. But I think like, so there was all of these kind of like questions that were sort of raised when, after he had that reaction, where I was like, why is this, why is this so upsetting to you? Why is it impossible for you to see how like, I, it's like, of course this isn't a big deal for me. And like, if you were to get any kind of surgery, I would be like, cool.
Live your body. Life.
What I was going to say earlier, life imitates art. Art imitates life.
Yeah.
Like, that just sounds so central to that experience. But I'm more excited now to see that than ever.
Yeah.
Also, thank you for sharing. This this is a beautiful space we're in right now.
The picnic blanket is a
picnic.
Safe space.
It's a really safe space.
I think, like, staying on that topic, which we were chatting about with Ethan last time, you're a writer also.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to say that the industry is changing and accommodating more non-binary roles. And I don't know, would you agree with that? I mean, because, you know, if you want that role, write it for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, what's your take?
I think that there's a lot of nuance missed with writing of non-binary characters.
Yeah.
There's like truly almost none, I find.
No nuance.
Yeah. Yeah. And very few characters, period.
Well, but it's like the one token character in the show.
The yellow glasses.
Don't even get me started on the way that they dressed me. I can't. I'll never get over it.
So baffling. Like, I just, it does, it does kill me a little bit. And I feel like also, there's like, I mean, this short, I didn't write it. I feel like I've been very, lucky to play many different types of people on screen. But I didn't write it specifically for this reason of being like, I want to play a non-binary character that's like nuanced and feels like a whole person. But like in this short, I certainly am a whole person just because I'm like literally, I'm me. Mm-hmm. Like I'm certainly the most me I've ever been on screen. Like I'm deeply
that's
myself.
So exciting.
Even in the parts where I watch it and I go, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
That's truth.
I don't like that one.
Critic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much to say. There's so much more to talk about. But
the way that I have like 30 questions on this document.
You're at time. Is there anything else? I mean, do you have any? I think we always ask our guests at the end. This is, I think, our demographic, our people who are entering into the industry, who are new, who are students, who are learning, emerging.
Emerging actors also.
Yeah. Yes. Do you have any like words of wisdom for or what do you, I mean, you were six, but is there anything that you wish you would have told younger Jess? Or is there any little thing that you wish that younger Jess kind of had?
Yeah. I'll say like I think I have a lot more kind of runway to talk about this from an acting perspective. Because directing, I'm like,
yeah,
I literally don't.
Well, from an acting perspective,
I cannot stress enough. Like, I don't know anything.
And come back on Film Picnic in 5 years.
And then maybe I'll have like this much more. I have like 20 years of acting, so I do know some things. I think now,
I think
which is amazing.
Too.
I think that like for new actors out there, I think that I like to think about acting in a way of like, this is the way that helps me feel the best is when you're acting in film, your only job is to really speak to the person in front of you and give as many different options as you can for the edit. You don't have to nail the scene. That's not the point of film acting. And this is for me as well.
That's a good note for me as well.
Yes, because it's not theater. You don't need to actually, your job is strangely not to tell the story.
Yeah.
Because that's not, the editor does that. Your job is to have like real human moments for them to choose from.
Period.
I think.
Mic drop.
Yeah. So I think like that, and when I do my best acting, I think, is when I'm just like, it's not my responsibility.
Yeah.
To be the arbiter of the story.
Yeah.
On film.
Mm-hmm.
My responsibility is to be a person.
Be a human being.
And be in the scene with whoever else is there and react and be like comfortable not having a really clear picture of where the scene is going because then if you know where the scene is going, then like there won't be any real human moments.
Yeah.
Like if you can't let yourself be surprised.
You're going to be anticipating.
Yeah. And you should be surprised every time. It should be different every time. Even if it's just slightly different.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you're really talking to the person, it will be different every time, which is so exciting and also scary.
Yeah.
Especially for, I think, new people. So it's like, if you can get really comfortable with not knowing, that's like,
I love that.
That's a wonderful piece of advice. Yeah.
Truly.
Thanks.
Oh my goodness.
Also makes the editor's job so much more. Oh, anyway. Editing.
Yeah.
Oh, editing.
I watched, I'll say it after, but listeners, viewers.
Hello, this is Kestrels from Halifax, Nova Scotia.